It's just after noon near the small fishing village of Cornucopia. There's a high temp of 18 degrees and a steady wind from the west. That's significant because it's the warmest day in 2 weeks. The starting point for the hike to the ice caves is a small parking lot at the end of Myers Road. I'm here with my mom. The last time we came to the ice caves, I was in sixth grade. This time, we're here to meet Bob Krummenacher, superintendent of the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore. As we look over the bustling lot, Bob explains just how unusual it is to be this busy on a weekday.
We've seen crowds at the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore that we have never seen before winter or summer. This is a remarkable phenomenon. The amount of media attention that we've gotten is unprecedented, and we're challenged by all these folks. We love the fact that they're here, but they're here more than we have the ability to staff it right now.
After a small flight of slippery stairs, we're on the beach, which is somewhere beneath about 2 feet of snow. There's a wide trail packed like concrete by thousands who have walked it before us. A half mile later, we're on the ice, and the gentle slope of the beach has given way to sheer cliffs of red sandstone, 4 stories high. Spilling over the edge are small groups of icicles resembling frozen waterfalls, but with each step they get bigger. Soon the formations clinging to the rocks look like giant stalactites and stalagmites, the kind formed in subterranean caves over thousands of years. But these formed over days and weeks. Krummenacher stands before a large arch of rock with ice bleeding from every crack.
This is almost like a pipe organ cathedral where there's just row after row of icicles of every size and shape. And in this area, they're all the same color. They're all clear. In a few places, particularly on the surface over here, you can see a little bit of reddish brown, and that's probably an indication that there's some blowing sand or rock fragments that have eroded off of the red rock.
At the next cave, we meet Megan Forbeck and Matt Staub. They drove nearly 7 hours from Madison to see the ice caves for the first time.
It's kind of like this like frosted glass. It's almost like it's an art exhibit. I mean, I hate saying like Dale Chihuly because it seems like so cliche, you know? But it really is like looking up like at a ceiling of just like a glass, like chandelier, just all frosted and everything.
While they look as permanent as their rocky underground counterparts, Lake Superior's ice caves are fleeting. It's the first time in 5 years they've been accessible. Krummenacher says average ice cover on the lake has declined a lot over the years.
So, in a lot of ways, as a result of climate change, this amazing ice cave experience is an endangered national park experience due to climate change.
He does think the ice caves will be back, but probably not as regularly as a decade ago. As for this year, there's no telling how long the ice leading to the caves will last. A strong wind could break it up in a matter of days. After about 3 hours on the ice, we start the long hike back to our cars. Everyone looks exhausted and cold. But for Jim Talkington, the hike, the cold, and the 7-hour drive from Rockford, Illinois, all seem insignificant compared to the natural phenomenon that is Lake Superior's ice caves.
Oh, they're awesome. They're well worth it. We were just talking about how it was just worth the drive up here just to see this. It's pretty cool.